The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So this morning, I'd like to talk about dana, the practice of giving and of generosity. But I'd like to start first by reflecting a little bit about how our minds work, how our minds and bodies work. There's such an interconnection, an interrelationship between our minds and our bodies. And most of us are aware of this, we're familiar with this, especially from the sense that when our minds are in a certain state, if we're angry or frustrated or anxious, it tends to come out into our behavior. We're very familiar with, in particular, that direction of how the mind and body interact. So there is that direction where when our mind is in a particular state, it does tend to impact how we are in the world. And this interaction between mind and body actually goes both ways. That how we are in the world can impact, in turn, it can like rebound on our minds. So, if we want to cultivate peace in our minds, one way to do that is to behave peacefully. The point of interconnection, of interlocking between the body and mind is a, I don't know if it's exactly, it's not exactly a state of mind, but it's a factor of mind called intention. Every single action that we do of body, speech, or mind is preceded by an impulse, preceded by an intention to do that thing. That is a mental impulse. This impulse itself is pretty neutral, but it's usually, it is always paired actually with some kind of a motivation, why we are intending to do that thing. And it's this intention and motivation together that is this interface between mind and body. So that if we behave with the intention of cultivating peace, even if our mind doesn't feel peaceful, if we behave with the intention of cultivating peace, that has a tendency to rebound on our mind stream and over time slowly create peace in our minds. So this pair of intention and motivation is really crucial in terms of how we become happier, how we cultivate beautiful qualities in our hearts and in our minds. And so we can behave with the intention of cultivating these beautiful qualities, even if we're not feeling them. And it's that piece of intention and motivation that guides our minds towards more and more happiness. And so, with respect to the practice of giving and generosity, this intention piece, the intention and motivation, is important. It's how we cultivate the quality of generosity. So the term, the Pali term dana, which is the term we put out on the box, you know, the box for offerings to IMC, and we often speak about dana here. Dana is the Pali term for the act of giving. So that's the outward, the behavior aspect. This practice of giving, when accompanied by skillful motivation, begins to rebound on our minds to create the quality of generosity in our hearts. The Pali term for generosity is chaga. So there's the distinction between the act or the practice of giving and the quality that it supports and creates of generosity, dana and chaga. So the Buddha describes a generous person. This is in particular a lay person he's describing. There is the case of a disciple, awareness cleansed of the stain of stinginess, living at home, freely generous, open-handed, delighting in being magnanimous, responsive to requests, delighting in the distribution of alms. This is called the treasure of generosity. So the purpose of generosity and giving, the practice of dana, we can't simply command ourselves to feel generous. At times we do feel generous, and then we tend to act generously, but we don't always feel generous. And so the practice of dana, of giving, begins to cultivate that quality of generosity. So this practice, the purpose in the teachings, actually it's one of the foundational teachings that the Buddha taught, particularly to lay people, that in terms of a graduated path of training the mind to begin to let go of the powers that lead us into suffering, the mental powers of greed, aversion, and delusion. The initial training that the Buddha suggests is this practice of dana, the practice of giving. It's understood in particular to counteract the quality of holding on, that tendency to hold on to things, the tendency in particular of greed. And the Buddha said, if beings knew, as I know, the result of giving and sharing, they would not eat without having shared it if there were someone to share it with. Such is the power of this practice of giving. And yet it is not simply giving that cultivates the quality of the generous heart, this open-handed, delighting in being magnanimous. It's not simply the giving that cultivates that. It really has the needs to be accompanied with an intention towards the open-hearted, the connecting, towards this quality of generosity. So our attitude, the way that we give, the way that we are offering, makes a difference, especially if we are interested in opening our hearts and minds. So the Buddha, the suttas, give a number of reasons. There's lists, of course, many lists in the suttas, as you meant, most of you are aware of. And there's several lists of why we might give. So I'll just read some of these to you. There's quite a few lists for why we might give. So this is talking about the motivation, the underlying motivation. So as I read these, reflect in your hearts on whether you have given out of any of these reasons. So we might give out of affection, out of anger, out of stupidity, out of fear, because it's traditional to give. We might give because someone has given us a gift. We might give because we hope for a gift in return. We might give to gain a good reputation, or because it's considered a good thing to do. We might give out of altruistic reasons, wanting to help others. We might give because it will gladden the heart and mind, because it actually makes us happy to give. And we might give because it ennobles the mind. It helps to support the releasing of greed, aversion, and delusion. So the practice of giving is actually, in Burma, it's taught not only as a practice of letting go, of counteracting greed, but also there's a practice that's recommended if you're angry at somebody or if you have a feeling of aversion towards somebody. One way to support a counteracting of that aversion is to offer them a gift, to think about what they might like and to offer it to them, with this intention of cultivating the connectivity, cultivating the overcoming of that aversion. So this teaching of giving, the highest purpose in the Buddhist understanding is because it does counteract these tendencies in our minds that create so much suffering in our lives and in other lives, the tendencies of greed, aversion, and delusion. And since there's so many different reasons why we might give, it's really helpful to be aware of what our intentions are as we are offering a gift. And there will be mixed motivations. So you may find as you're thinking about offering a gift that there may be a little bit of hoping you get something in return. But there also may be a sense of wanting to learn how to let go, or wanting to have it support the gladdening of the heart and mind. And so there will be mixed motivations as we give. And the best suggestion that I have around this is to acknowledge your mixed motivations. Be very clear. Understand what your motivations are. And if you see a little bit of wanting something in return, or some other slightly skewed motivation for giving, it doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't follow through on that action of giving. But see if you can also connect with some of the more beautiful reasons why we might give, out of wanting to help others, out of wanting to gladden our own heart and mind, out of supporting the letting go of greed, aversion, and delusion. There's actually quite a few teachings when I look through the suttas on the teaching of giving and generosity. I found there's quite a bit in the suttas around how one gives. Not only this list of reasons why, and to begin to think about that perspective, there's another teaching around how someone who has integrity offers a gift. And this is an interesting list. I find this one to be very interesting. The first reason a person of an integrity offers a gift, or not so much a reason, but the manner, let's say the manner in which a person of integrity offers a gift, is out of conviction, out of confidence, that it supports the letting go of greed, aversion, and delusion. So it supports that, then, and to recall that. The teaching here is to actually reflect as you're giving on the fact that it supports letting go. So using reflection, this is not something we think about much in terms of our practice. We often think that our practice is mostly just pure mindfulness, where we're just trying to let go of thoughts over and over again. This is actually using thought, bringing in thought recollecting the benefits of making this action. It supports letting go. A person of integrity is also said to give a gift with attentiveness and respectfully. So that an offering is given in a way that does not belittle or hurt another person. So that it's not done in a condescending manner. So in a way that the practice of generosity and of giving, the practice of giving and the cultivation of generosity begins to create interconnection between people. The act of giving something creates relationship. And so the Buddha is suggesting, take care in how you form and create relationships. Do it with respect. Do it with care. Do it in a way that respects the other person and doesn't belittle them. One aspect here of the person giving with integrity, it says, and this one I'm not completely sure I understand, although I'm coming to a way to understand it. It says that the person of integrity gives a gift in season or at the appropriate time. And the examples in the suttas are, one would give a gift to a newcomer, one would give a gift to one going away, to one who is ill, or in time of famine. And reflecting on this, I think partly this is pointing to giving gifts when it is understood by the culture to be appropriate. That's part of it. And then the other part of it, I think, that might be a piece is to reflect on whether perhaps, you know, this is an appropriate situation in which to offer this particular person a gift. You know, is this a gift that perhaps should be offered in a large group, or should it be offered privately? So reflecting on whether that this is an appropriate situation in which to offer a gift. A person of integrity offers a gift with an empathetic heart. Again, looking at the relationship, looking at the connection between people. So if you're offering a gift to somebody in deep need, not creating a sense of division between the two, an empathetic heart, this is the heart of compassion. The heart that resonates with the suffering of someone and doesn't push it away, but recognizes this might be me, this might be me someday, and connects out of that sense of open-heartedness. And the last aspect, which I find very interesting that this is in the suttas, it says that a person of an integrity gives a gift without adversely affecting oneself or the other. So we've talked a little bit about giving without belittling respect with respect for the other. But this also brings in the aspect of respect for yourself in the act of giving. So to not give in a manner that causes yourself harm. So this teaching, I think, brings in a consideration of priorities. That giving needs to be balanced with wisdom. So everybody has different means, everybody has different situations. And we all need to look at our situations in terms of what we can offer, what might be too much to offer, when it might be the wrong time for us to offer something. So to me, this points to a reflection on where and how we use our resources, considering our priorities in our act of giving, in the act of offering. So this actually takes us into a very deep reflection. It can take us into a very deep reflection on what our highest values are, what our highest priorities are. Thinking about this, reflecting on what our highest priorities are, and making this conscious in our activities on a day-to-day basis, conscious in terms of how we engage with others. Am I engaging in such a way that will nourish my highest priorities? This goes well beyond the act of giving. One way we can think about our resources, those things that we have to give, is as a source of sustenance, of nourishment. So through giving, we have an opportunity to direct our resources to nourish those things that are the most meaningful to us. To cultivate, not only internally, but in the world, those things that support our highest ideals, that might make a difference in the world. So consciously reflecting, consciously connecting our acts of giving with our highest priorities. This can support a feeling of well-being as we use our resources to support those things that nourish us the most. It somehow doesn't feel in a way like we're giving things away, because we're nourishing that very ground in which our aspirations and our highest priorities grow. So one way to cultivate the quality of generosity through acts of giving is to incline the mind towards giving through framing the way in which we're engaging as acts of giving and receiving. In a sense, you know, the open-hearted giving is an outward act. Open-hearted receiving is also a gift in a way. It allows someone else to offer something. So there's the open-hearted giving and the open-hearted receiving, both sides being aspects of this practice. So recognize and appreciate when you are engaging in giving. Again, using the reflection, reflecting on the beautiful qualities that are being cultivated as we engage in the action of giving. It supports letting go. It supports a connectivity, an open-hearted connectivity with people. So it supports the cultivation of metta, of kindness. Recognize that. Again, from the Buddha. Even if one throws away the rinsings of a pot or cup into a village pool or pond, wishing that the living beings there may live on them, even this would be a source of merit, not to speak of gifts to human beings. So to me, this really points towards, again, this recognizing when you are offering. He says, if you throw away the rinsings of a pot, wishing that the beings might live on them. So there's that important piece of bringing that intentionality to the act. If you just rinse out your bowl and throw it into the water without thinking about it, it doesn't support the cultivation of the beautiful quality of connectedness and of giving. So even if you were to throw out rinsings of a pot into a pool, wishing that beings there might live on them, this cultivates beautiful qualities in the mind. So to me, this points to this appreciation. Appreciate when you are offering. Recognize when there is an act of offering taking place. It happens a lot more than we really recognize. So reflecting on how much of our lives can be looked at as this giving. The monetary system that we work with puts many layers between us. So it doesn't feel as much like giving. It feels like exchange often. It obscures this, the monetary way that we work, obscures the fact that we are giving through many of our interchanges. One evening I was with several of my teacher colleagues at a restaurant, and one of my colleagues said to me, "Have you ever realized or thought about the fact that, you know, coming here to eat at this meal is offering a livelihood to the people who are working here?" And I hadn't thought about that. So it's really interesting to begin to frame our encounters this way, to recognize that we are offering and receiving all the time. Many, many gestures can be looked at through this framework. You know, letting somebody ahead of you in the line who has fewer items than you in the grocery store line, or allowing somebody to have an easy merge on the freeway. Offering a smile to someone at the grocery store. Offering your respect and, you know, not, you don't have to do a deep, soulful gaze into the cashier's eyes. You know, it's just like, just being respectful and kind. Offering respect and kindness to people we encounter is a gift. So in contemplating giving, we should really open our idea of what it means to give. We mostly think about giving in terms of material exchange, monetary, material goods. There's so many different ways that we can understand the practice of giving. Volunteering, of course, is often understood as an act of giving. Giving our being of service, giving our time. Our conduct is a gift. When we behave ethically, when we behave with the intention towards non-harming, we give countless beings the gift of being safe in our presence. The five precepts, the precept of refraining from killing, refraining from taking that which is not given, refraining from sexual misconduct, refraining from false speech, and refraining from intoxicants, are called the five great gifts. Giving our kindness, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, connecting with kindness with people. You know, we can go into the world with the intention of open-hearted connection and thinking of that as a gift. In effect, our practice is a gift to the world. That when we engage with the intention of meeting people with kindness, with compassion, it ripples out. So our practice is offering a gift to the world. We can offer the gift of our presence, the gift of our mindful presence. When someone is in suffering, when someone is struggling, just being able to be present without resistance to their suffering is a huge gift to that person. I had an experience of this. A friend of mine was reliving, remembering some very painful things that had happened in childhood. And I was just there, and I could see that this person was in such pain, and I just went into my practice, and I just like, I'm just going to try to be here. I didn't say anything much to this person. I just tried to be with them. And he just broke down, essentially. He broke down. And a couple days later, he came to me and said, "What were you doing?" And I said, "I was just trying to be there with you." And he said, "It was amazing." And that really gave me, I was really just practicing, can I be here? Can I be here and not resist this pain? I wasn't consciously trying to send him metta or do anything that way. I was just trying to be there as best I could. And it really made me understand when he came back to me a couple days later and said, "Wow, that was incredible. What were you doing?" Just how beneficial just our presence, just the willingness to meet pain can be. Not trying to fix it, not trying to tell somebody how they can get better, but just being there. A very, very great gift, our practice, our ability to be present. So I encourage you to play with this as a practice. Actually look at what happens to you. Use mindfulness as you engage with this. Seeing if you can think about ways to frame many, many encounters. Your drive home from here. Can you engage in that as an act of care for yourself and generosity towards others? Giving everyone the gift of safety in the manner of your driving. Offering people easy merges. Just very, very simple ways. Play with it. Notice how it impacts your heart. Notice what it does for you. There's a teaching that says that the act of giving brings joy before giving, during the giving, and after the giving, in the reflecting back on. This is a pure kind of joy. It's a beautiful kind of joy. Noticing your motivation, noticing why you're giving, noticing any sense of contraction around giving. Not simply engaging in giving in a kind of a rote way, but really reflecting. How does this feel? Looking at your priorities, looking at your resources, where these resources need to be directed internally and externally. Really reflecting on it. Also, it can be interesting to play with looking at the inclination towards giving. When does it arise? When does it not arise? For one period of time, Joseph Goldstein had suggested a practice of any time the inclination to give arises, follow through on it. So I was practicing that. And, you know, I was kind of amazed at how rarely that happened. But every time I felt it, I did. You know, even if it was just a fleeting thought, I was wandering through a museum bookstore and I saw something, and it was a little expensive. But I thought of a friend's daughter when I saw this thing, and my initial response was to go, "Oh, you know," but then I realized I'd had that intention, so I just. Having that as a practice, I just bought that thing and gave it to her. So look at when that intention arises. We can cultivate the quality of generosity through the act of giving, and we can also cultivate generosity by following through when the impulse arises. So noticing that. And as I mentioned, it's really important to keep track of wisdom, of discernment in this process of playing with generosity. You might have an impulse to, you know, give somebody way more than you can really afford. You need to use wisdom in that exploration. Sometimes we can be very inspired, and we need to actually balance it with a sense of wisdom and compassion for ourselves as well. So those are some thoughts about cultivating generosity and practicing giving. Are there any questions or comments?
I have had the opportunity lately to what I call fill some needs. I have limited resources, but I'm not destitute. And it's to fill those needs has given me too much pleasure. I'm on a high. And I have another friend who is in similar circumstances to me. She has a little more money, but she has to watch every penny. And she has been very critical of the fact that I have given something that she thinks I cannot afford. And first, I don't know how to deal with her criticism, because I have thought about it. I'm not going to live forever. And secondly, I almost feel guilty about the amount of pleasure. So how do I deal with that?
So I want to just check in first. In the filling these needs, as you say, in the offering, are you having a sense that you are going too far financially for yourself? I mean, it sounds like you've done that reflection. So you feel like you're in balance along those lines. If you're getting joy out of that, that's a very beautiful kind of joy. It's not, there's no need to feel guilty about that kind of joy. And we can have this idea sometimes in our practice. It's like, oh, we're not supposed to, you know, want anything. And our whole practice unfolds essentially through, there's a kind of a way that we let go of the more wantings that hold us in. And as a way to let go of those, we begin to appreciate the kind of wantings that connect. It's a sort of a more wholesome kind of wanting, that desire to connect and the desire to offer, the desire to become free. These are beautiful desires. And in a sense, we, you know, we kind of, in a stepping stone kind of way, I mean, the teaching is ultimately that we let go of everything, but it's we can't go there immediately. And we kind of follow the path of letting go of the kind of more stingy things by taking the step of holding on to something that's more connecting and more opening. So I hope that supports a little bit of your thinking around the joy side of what you're experiencing. And in terms of connecting with your friend who is critical, there's no need. I mean, part of the practice there is to understand she's got her own fears. That's where it's coming from. And you don't need to explain to her or him. You know, you don't need to explain. Just this is my choice. I've done my thinking about it. And so your work is in not being reactive to the criticism, So that's we can't stop. We can't fix what other people do. You know, so she or he has their own responses and reasons. And our work is to become balanced around that. So that's your practice. That's your part of the practice, to become more at ease with the fact that she's being critical. Or he's being critical. So, thank you. We need to stop. And I'll actually end this morning by a dedication of merit, because this is also an act of giving. This sense of offering the goodness of the practice, what has been generated here today, offering it to all beings, is an act of generosity. So may the beneficial results of our practice and reflection this morning be offered to support the welfare and liberation of all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be safe. May all beings live with ease. May all beings be free from suffering. Thank you for your attention.